Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is John Urschel, who is out with a brand new book, Mind and Matter, A Life in Math and Football, that he co-wrote with his partner in both life and with this book, Louisa Thomas. Louisa was, by the way, a guest on this show a year or two ago with her book, Louisa, about Louisa Adams. So I think this is the first time we've had a couple on here in different capacities. But John, July of 2012, I was writing for a magazine covering Big Ten football. I went to the Big Ten media days. The sanctions against Penn State had just been announced, and we figured nobody from Penn State, at least the players, would show up. But here comes you, Jordan Hill, Silas Red, in with Coach Bill O'Brien, just to kind of face this firestorm. I thought, you know, this is probably one of those things where everybody's been well coached as to what to say. I read in your book, that was a last-minute decision. What was that like for you to show up there that day amidst all that crap that was going on?
Yeah, it was interesting. First of all, Silas Red was not there, but Michael Motti was.
Motti, that's who it was. And, okay.
Yes. And, yeah, we were not coached. We, you know, O'Brien had decided that we weren't going. And then that morning, after we work out, O'Brien changes his mind, and we hop on sort of like a private small jet right after we work out, and we just fly over there, and we really have very little coaching, very little training as to what to say. And, yeah, it was an interesting experience. Of course, Penn State football has sort of prepared me well for media, you know, for many years, so I felt fine. And really, because they weren't telling us what to say, we could just say what we believed. And, I think it was really important for all of us to be there to sort of share with the world how we felt, what was going on, and sort of to sort of comment on, you know, on sort of all of the things going around Penn State football at that time.
Well, you know, your book takes you through both your academic career and your athletics career. So take me back to when you got that call that Penn State wanted to offer you the scholarship. I know that you had gotten a visit at the school, but you were going there, and your mom wanted you to go to a lot more elite academic institution in her mind, right?
Yes. My mom and I, we had sort of come to an agreement, roughly, that I would go to Princeton. I would play football, but I would focus on my she wanted me to be an aerospace engineer, so I'd focus on my engineering. But Penn State, they came very late in the game, and I have to say, when I made my visit to Penn State, I absolutely fell in love with the place. And I never looked back, and I have to say that I'm extremely happy with my decision. And my mother, in hindsight, is also pleased with that choice.
When I went to college, I took a class, just a remedial math class, because I'm not a math guy. There were a lot of the football players in that class, and we jokingly all called the class numbers, because that's about how basic it was. The track you were on, though, a lot more challenging academic-wise as far as mathematics. So kind of give an idea for people that don't, I don't know any other math majors. What kind of classes are you taking at Penn State to hone this degree?
Yes, so what courses does a math major take? That's a great question. So of course you take things like calculus, you take things like algebra, but then you start trying to take these fundamental ideas that are things that you learn in high school, things like calculus and algebra and things like geometry, and you try to understand them at a higher level. And you try to see what you can use these things for. And so a lot of higher-level math can go into application, whether it's sort of higher-level mathematics for engineering, higher-level mathematics with an eye towards physics, in my case, higher-level mathematics with an eye towards computer science. And a math major is really just giving you a set of tools to try to solve interesting quantitative problems.
Throughout the book, you always talk about your math mind and how you analyze the percentages of everything happening, whether it was on a football field, you played with the Baltimore Ravens for a few years, you were starting, and you were also obviously with Penn State. But I remember reading a story about a college coach somewhere, I think it was in California, that never punts on fourth down, always goes for it on fourth down because he figured he had about a 40% chance of always making it. What type of calculations are going through your mind as you're out there on the offensive line in a football game just because of your math background, or maybe that's just because you were wired and you became a math major because that's how you were wired?
First of all, I have to say, I hope the person you're talking about always going for it on fourth down, doesn't actually always go for it on fourth down, because that just seems like first of all, that's just an awful idea, and that just doesn't make any sense to me. But no. I mean, it might actually be worse than sort of what traditional coaches do. But I mean, in the sense that it seems like you're sort of being innovative, because it's true that in a lot of circumstances you should be going for it on fourth down, but a lot of coaches are sort of more risk averse. But the fact that it seems like you understand that, but yet you just decide that you're just going to do it all the time, is just like probably sort of even worse from a sort of understanding point of view. But in football, I have to say, I wasn't calculating angles and vectors on the football field. I was I was very focused on just trying to make my block and not getting my head ripped off.
You had a piece in the New York Times this past Sunday, and I read it with great interest, because I remember taking math classes in high school here. I went to a Catholic high school, and our math teacher was the basketball coach, and he would give us the lesson for about 10 minutes, let us work on it, and then he'd pull out his video camera, and he'd watch tape of a basketball game. Hardly any inspiration behind that. It was kind of the point of your article, is the inspiration behind the people who teach math should be higher and more akin to a coach, right?
Yes, so in some respects, I mean, you sometimes the titles that get chosen are a little provocative. I don't want math teachers like blowing whistles or yelling at their students rather. But what I'm getting at is that football coaches just almost uniformly encourage their strongest players to dream big and very big, and they tell them, if you work hard enough, maybe you can play college football. There's a small, small chance, but who knows? Maybe you could make it to the NFL. And I would say that I understand that football is, of course, viewed as something much cooler than math in this world, but just that little bit of motivation can go a long way. And math teachers really have their work cut out for them already, but I would say just motivating your best students just a little bit, telling them to dream big, that they could be a top mathematician or a physicist, that could go a long way, is all I'm saying.
I know you were also doing the calculations on draft night, and you have a great story in the book about how you got the call and it went to your mom's cell phone because your cell phone wasn't working. But, not only did you get drafted, you made the roster, and you were a starter in the NFL. That percentage chance is close to zero, right? For that happening to a person.
Yes. Epsilon close to zero. That's a math major joke.
But nonetheless, you got in, you played football at the highest level, and then you were right at the peak of your career, had a great contract. You decided to get out and pursue this. So my thought is pursuing your PhD at MIT, is that something that you have to do? Is that a young person's game for somebody your age, versus if you would have played another 10 years in the NFL, which you very well could have physically, but by that point, would you have been so far out of the academic world that it just wouldn't have worked to come back?
Yeah, that actually wouldn't have been, I don't think that would have been a thing. I mean, people, it would be sort of, okay, it's not exactly the same thing, but, that would be like me, being done with football and then, a decade later saying like, hey, I think I'm ready to try this NFL thing out. math is very much a young person's game in many ways. And yes, I'm striking while the iron is hot.
And so as you pursue this, you want to be a professor, obviously, with a math major. But as you do this, have you kind of taken notes of all the math instructors and the way it's been taught to you, and kind of know what works and what doesn't? Because the way I took it, you're a perfectionist when it comes to math, and you have to be, because that's how the proof happens.
Yeah, exactly. Math is very rigorous. It's very exact and unforgiving, and I have spent a lot of time thinking about math instruction and sort of how I want to be. And I've really modeled myself after sort of the best motivators and math teachers that I've had to see what works, what doesn't. And I have to say that I'm very big in my classrooms on, one, a high comfort level for my students, in the sense that they feel comfortable speaking up. They feel comfortable answering a question and maybe being wrong, because this is important. And two, that they feel like I'm encouraging them. They feel like they can do the things that I'm asking them to do. And they feel excited about doing them. And this is not an easy thing to accomplish, but this is what I try to do in my classroom.
All right, the book is Mind and Matter, A Life in Math and Football by John Urschel and Louisa Thomas. The book's available now wherever your books are sold. And if nobody's seen the speech John Urschel gave at the Big Ten luncheon in 2013, go on YouTube and watch it. Very inspiring. John, just an excellent work here. Best of luck in your career going forward. I hope you can inspire the minds of lots of young people. And thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.